Good-looking as they were, he didn't fancy the Cunliffe's chances. That long scar down the bride's arm had put him off her from the start. He found the whole thing ominous and distasteful.
"Let's leave it," said the groom suddenly, releasing Robin. "We've got enough, haven't we?"
"Wait, wait, the other one's coming now," said the photographer crossly.
The moment Matthew had released Robin, the swan by the far shore had begun to paddle its way across the dark green water towards its mate.
"You think the buggers were doing it on purpose, eh, Linda?" said Geoffrey with a fat chuckle to the bride's mother. "Bloody things!"
"It doesn't matter," said Robin, pulling a long skirt up clear of her shoes, the heels of which were a little too low. "I'm sure we've got something." She strode out of the copse of trees into the blazing sunlight and off across the lawn towards the 17th century castle, where most of the wedding guests were already milling, drinking champagne, as they admired the view of the hotel grounds.
"I think her arm's hurting her," the bride's mother told the groom's father.
"Bollocks it is," thought the photographer, with a certain cold pleasure. "They rowed in the car."
The couple had looked happy enough beneath the shower of confetti in which they had departed the church, but on arrival at the Country House Hotel, they had worn the rigid expressions of those barely repressing their rage.
"She'll be all right. Just needs a drink," said Geoffrey comfortably. "Go keep her company, Matt."
Matthew had already set off after his bride, gaining on her easily as she navigated the lawn in her stilettos. The rest of the party followed, the bridesmaids' mint-green chiffon dresses rippling in the hot breeze.
"Robin, we need to talk."
"Go on, then."
"Wait a minute, can't you?"
"If I wait, we'll have the family on us."
Matthew glanced behind him. She was right.
"Robin."
"Don't touch my arm."
Her wound was throbbing in the heat. Robin wanted to find the holdall containing the sturdy rubber protective brace, but it would be somewhere out of reach in the bridal suite, wherever that was. The crowd of guests standing in the shadow of the hotel was coming into clearer view. The women were easy to tell apart because of their hats. Matthew's Aunt Sue wore an electric blue wagon wheel, Robin's sister-in-law Jenny a startling confection of yellow feathers. The male guests blurred into conformity in their dark suits. It was impossible to see from this distance whether Cormoran's strike was among them.
"Just stop, will you?" said Matthew,
because they had fast outstripped the family, who were matching their pace to his toddler niece. Robin paused.
"I was shocked to see him, that's all," said Matthew carefully.
"I suppose you think I was expecting him to burst in halfway through the service and knock over the flowers?" asked Robin.
Matthew could have borne this response if not for the smile she was trying to suppress. He had not forgotten the joy in her face when her ex-boss had crashed into their wedding ceremony. He wondered whether he would ever be able to forgive the fact that she had said, "I do," with her eyes fastened upon the big, ugly, shambolic figure of Cormoran Strike, rather than her new husband. The entire congregation must have seen how she had beamed at him. Their families were gaining on them again. Matthew took Robin's upper arm gently, his fingers inches above the knife wound, and walked her on. She came willingly, but he suspected that this was because she hoped she was moving closer to Strike.
"I said in the car, if you want to go back to work for him..." "I'm an effing idiot," said Robin.
The men grouped on the terrace were becoming distinguishable now, but Robin could not see Strike anywhere. He was a big man. She ought to have been able to make him out even among her brothers and uncles, who were all over 6 foot. Her spirits, which had soared when Strike had appeared, tumbled earthwards like rain-soaked fledglings. He must have left out of the service, rather than boarding a minibus to the hotel. His brief appearance had signified a gesture of goodwill, but nothing more. He had not come to rehire her, merely to congratulate her on a new life.
"Look," said Matthew more warmly.
She knew that he too had scanned the crowd, found it strikeless, and drawn the same conclusion.
"All I was trying to say in the car was, it's up to you what you do, Robin. If he wants you back, I was just worried, for Christ's sake. Working for him wasn't exactly safe, was it?"